Discussing last week, we discussed the different aspects of Kibbutz Avayim. We were discussing the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam's opinion is that this Kibbutz Avayim, even on a father, even on a parent, is a Rasha. The Rambam writes, is a key of Kibbutz Avayim, even on a Rasha. Some disagree, but that's the sheet of the Rambam. So the question they ask on the Rambam is, he seems to go against the Gemara, because if you're a real Brisker, it's a Shvir Gemara. By either there's a Gemara against the Rambam that says that in Baba Metzia, that if a person, a father took money beribis and he had it and he died, so all things being equal, the kids aren't obligated to return that money. It's only if Hapa Mayaskina to us a tshuva. If the father did tshuva and said he wanted us to return the illicit money, so Kibbutz Avayim, you would return it. But for Smachas and the Gemara, there's only time there's a chiyuv of Kibbutz Avayim on a rush if he did tshuva, but not categorically. If the father did not do tshuva, so then there would be no chiyuv of Kibbutz Avayim to return the money. Whether they have to if they went to Beis Din, maybe they decide for other reasons. So Kibbutz Avayim, they wouldn't be chayav to return the money. So the Kibbutz says, according to the Rambam, why not? Categorically, there's a chiyuv of Kibbutz Avayim on a father, even if he's a Rasha. And the famous Gemara in Brachos, that Chizkiyo, he dragged his father's bones in the street. What happened to Kibbutz Avayim for a Rasha? So that's what we explain. Our Shechter explains that basically that there's Kibbutz Avayim, we all know there's Kibbutz Avayim. We discussed Kibbutz Avayim in terms of B'Adam U'Makom B'Adam U'Chavero as it's the link between the two tablets. That the first tablet B'Adam U'Makom and the second B'Adam U'Chavero, and Kibbutz Avayim has both aspects, as the Minchas Kinech and others point out. So there's two reasons in general why there's a chiyuv of Kibbutz Avayim. It stems from a B'Adam U'Chavero aspect as well as a B'Adam U'Makom. B'Adam U'Chavero is out priyat kol. You owe your parents so much, they brought you into the world, they did everything for you, they changed the diapers. It's priyat kol, or as the Kinech writes, Hakara Satov, as Ramosha writes, by when he discusses the question of a ger, so this guy here, he has a chiyuv of Kibbutz Avayim on his biological parents, and he goes into this, is so fundamental, al takaras atov, that they brought you into the world for Yechayah. There's an aspect of priyat chov, and then there's another aspect of al-Adam v'makom, of al-Hukish kava v'kava shamayim, that we know that we have three creators, father, mother, and God, and therefore our parents are like our creators. There's an Indian of Kibbutz Avayim, they brought us into the world. It's Hukish Kavah Kavah Shamayim. So the Rav Shechter explains Pshat in the Rambam, but this is the Pshat there. The Rambam is talking about Bechayim. When the Rambam says it's a Chiyuv of Kibbutz Avayim on a father of Rasha, that's Bechayim, that's out the Priyat Kov. So whether he's a Rasha or not, who cares? You benefited, he did so much for you, and you still owe your father the proper kavod. But when it comes to B'Adam U'Makom, the Hukish Kavah Kavah Shamayim, so that only applies to an Adam Kasher or a Tzaddik, the person who's a Rasha, so there's no Hukish Kavah Kavah Shamayim. So he wants to say the Rambam Shita is, Daska, when does the Rambam hold the Zechiyah of Kibbutz Avayim on a Rasha? That's only Bechayim, out to B'Adam U'Chavero. But Racha Misa, even the Rambam would agree, as we see from the two Gemaras, that Racha Misa, there's no Kibbutz Avayim out the B'Adam U'Chavero, and if the father is a Rasha, so then there's no B'Adam U'Makom either afterwards. And we just pointed out that those are even within Kibbutz Avayim, we find the two aspects of B'Adam U'Makom and B'Adam U'Chavero and distinctions between B'Chayim and Racha Misa. Do you have a question?
When you're dealing with commandments from the Bible, it would be that the Almighty has said, so why are you putting in reasons? If you set your reasons up, it's setting it up like this. If you give a reason, I'm thanking them for this life. And if you pull it out like that, then your whole thing falls apart. Noach lo lazim shalom nivra. I'm going to thank them for putting me into this world that is a very tough world, and that's how we paskin. Noach lo lazim shalom nivra. I have to make the most of it. I would not give a reason. You may have to say, it's an idea, something to think about, but don't base yourself upon the reason of thankfulness, because there is no thankfulness for them putting me into the situation. Of course, I'm happy that I'm alive, but according to what the Gemara says, it's Noach lo lazim shalom nivra, how we paskin. So therefore,
right,
the reason is for a car. Don't do me that favor. You set me up. I can fall down flat on my face because of all the...
And you can negate the person ever saw the parents.
You know, the parents didn't change the diaper or something like that. But
right. No. Right. He's just religious and explaining because we have a contradiction between what the Rambam is saying and the Gemara. So we have to reconcile the Rambam with the Gemara.
So what are those two reasons? Are those two reasons, but they seem to be independent of the mitzvah. The Torah says, Kedera Tzadikah Vesina.
No, right, we're asking,
is it only
what's the nature of
those two reasons?
No, what's the nature of the Chiyah? So we know that Kibbutz Aim is both the Adam Ramacham and Adam Chavero. That the two, because on one hand we see our parents as our creators, on the other hand, the people too, and we have a Chiyah of, you know, a Priyas Chavos. So the two aspects we see in Kibbutz Aim, so
are they saying that it only with these two caveats, if one of these two caveats holds that's what the pasuk is talking about, or is it regardless of the pasuk, because there's a priyas kov, you have a chiyus?
Right, well, obviously that's their comment. I mean, they're explaining, since the Torah says there's a chiyus of Kibbutz Aim, and therefore, you know there's seen in time at the Krah, the bottom line, we have a mitzvah of Kibbutz Aim, so everyone agrees. In a normal scenario, nothing to talk about. Well,
he just stood up, his father came in,
he's demonstrating it, very good. But everyone agrees, Kibbutz Aim, that's it, because there's a mitzvah in the Torah, we don't have to make any... So the question is, then, in 90% of the cases, there's nothing to talk about. You know there's a chiyuv of Kibbutz Aim. It's only in a case where a special scenario, where one of your parents are Rishon, or some others again, then you have to analyze, you have to figure out the couple of Nafkaminas in the rare cases. You need the extreme cases to figure out the principle, because there's a Chiyuv of Kibbutz Aim because the Torah says so, period. But now to fully understand the depth of what does that mean, where does it come from, so then, you know, where does it stem from, Ben Adam HaKadavel V'Makam, so then the person has to go in to examine what it is. But of course, well, there's a mitzvah of Kibbutz Aim in the discussion. It's only special cases, whether of Russia or whatever the case, will be entertaining the possibility of it wouldn't be, so then we have to know why there isn't. In other words,
the way you're explaining it is the mitzvah is talui on these criteria.
No, that's not the mitzvah is talui, the mitzvah was given, and they're explaining how it was given, what the basis for it was given on. And it starts off with the pasuk in the chumash that Kibbutz Aim the aim. And then the Mepharshim try, as always, they try to analyze what's the nature of the mitzvah. And then, then you come over
here. What they're saying is totally these two things, and if the guy is a Russian and he's dead, then there's nothing, because...
Right, right? No, you're right, he's a Russian and dead, right, but...
That means it is totally on these
two aspects. No, but that... Yeah, but that... I know, but first, the Chiyuv came first, and we're just qualifying what the Chiyuv is. It's not that the reasons are changing, yeah, I'm saying that.
And also, I don't know, the Chizkiyahu was a very, the Chizkiyahu who dragged the bone. Chizkiyahu was the righteous person. So people could have started praising the parents of Chizkiyahu. Maybe it was a special case, he had to drag the bone to show, because the same way as people praise Amakya Batkarna Vahimadavam, you praise someone who's a good person, you praise their mother and father that brought them into life. So he didn't want people to start to praise his father, because to show to emphasize that his father was truly a Russian. Don't give him any foot on this, that I'm here. I did on my own, not because of my father. So you have to drag the bone, so maybe an exception to the rule in terms of how you relate to a parent. He just had to denigrate the bones of his father so people would praise his father. And then once they praise the father, they're going to be praising a Russia, and they can identify with the Russian, and they can leave their slippery slope. So it's a special case with
this kid. Right, you're right. And in general, as we have in other things with Noach, there could be exceptions. Right, so that's just one possibility in the Rambam. But the question is there, is how you want to reconcile with the Rambam, right, categorically seems to say there's a chiyuv of kibud avim on her father, and then you have to deal with the different gemaras. So it's not the only way to answer up the question. That's how Rav Shapsi answers it. That's the difference b'chayim ben la'chamisa. And along those lines, this isn't unique actually to kibud avim, but we'll see other mitzvahs, the elam v'chaveiro. We also find that there'll be elements of the elam l'makom as well, as we'll see. So let's say, for instance, the issur of lashon hara. We all know, we're familiar with the issur of evil gossip, speaking about someone. So it's an issur in the Torah of lashon hara. And in fact, there's a famous kasha that many, the Rav Yaakov deals with, or Rav Hanan Wasserman, the Chasam Sofer, at Alta of Kelm, in terms of, as we're going to start reading on the next, we've probably read enough already, but we're going to start reading soon about the story of Mechiras Yosef. And it goes into the details of how the brothers treated Yosef. So that doesn't put the brothers, you know, and you look at the Mepharshim, they give Cheshbonas what, he was a Navi Shekhar, you know, all the Mepharshim, when we go into the parsha, we could go into, you know, the deeper meaning. But the bottom line is, the Torah seems to be talking negative about the brothers of Yosef, or we go in by Miriam, watching her about Moshe. So the question is, how could the Torah tell us? The Torah itself is not to say Lashon Hara. The Torah itself is telling us all these things about these different people. Why isn't that an issue of Lashon Hara? Why does the Torah go into details of Miriam, of the whole story? Rabbi Yaakov answered specifically by Mechiras Yosef and by Yeshe, where Yaakov is, but it's not limited. And Rabbi Hanan actually doesn't ask it on the Torah. He asked it on the Mishnah and Yuma, which talks about different families that are mentioned for Genai. So he asked a similar question, is why is the Mishnah go into denigrating different families?
How could you record history without telling what you call Lashon Hara?
So we have a historian in the house now.
Is there Lashon Hara on people?
It would appear.
Dead people?
That's what's going to get to. So hopefully when we finish this year, we'll have a heter for you.
In Parshas, Yisrael, it would appear, seen by surprise, that Kibbutz Av Ve'em is on the second Luchos and not on the first. Because in Yisrael, the dividing line, there's one pay in the whole of the third Luchos, and it's after the third Dibur, which has the effect of making the two, if those were the two Luchos, the two would be roughly equal, which is Miskabel Azad. And Kibbutz Av Ve'em would then come out on the second Luchos. The pay, the Tzucha, is after the third Dibur.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
So that the two sides are about equal in number of words, because Shabbos and Lo-Yi are about equal.
Right.
All the rest take up no space.
Right, because it's then, according to that the Duggies would be under the Elam HaFavero aspect, but it's interesting. Right, anyway, that's the way the Mepharshim assume. It's an interesting point anyway, yeah, in terms of...
That's in the
comments. No, but I'm saying in terms of how they divided, you know, gets into how you divide the Luchas. Is this going, you know, and I guess which version you had in terms of the Luchas.
Yeah.
But either way, so that's the question, is how could the Torah, which gives an issue, in fact, the Chasam Sofer says, it's crazy, you know, so what will people answer right off the bat, which maybe it's a good answer, maybe it's not. But we know there are some exceptions to the rule of Lashon Hara. Or are they exceptions? We know there's a concept of Toelet. That if you say something for Toelet, for a purpose, for a gain, for something good, so then it's one of the exceptions to the rule. In fact, it's an interesting Afike Yam. He was one of the Talmidim of Chaim Brisker. So he has it in his Agdama. So he writes, actually on Parashas Vayeshev, but he has a nice thrust on the Chumash, but the Halakas too. He gives three stipulations you need when you want to give Lashon Hara to Toelet. Number one, it has to be, that's the way it has to be done. You can't have any other way besides that way. If that's the only way you get the message done without saying Lashon Hara, then you should do it. It has to be done exactly the way, no exaggerations, or as much as we can exaggerate, as we'll see Rav Chanan shortly. And then the third thing has to be for Tolelis. And he explains to Pasuk in the beginning of Vayeshev, it says, Vahu Nar. Why does the Torah emphasize Yosef being a Nar? And it says something, Vahave. And it says, Aviyam. So he says, why is Yosef called it, why is a Nar? Because they wanted to show that Yosef was a Nar. No one took him seriously. He didn't go ahead and tell the brothers and rebuke them. They wouldn't listen to him. So the Torah is giving the reason Nar. Okay, he couldn't tell them directly. But not the word with Safia, but it uses the word in Vahave, but something like that. A much more direct lesson. He's just saying it over exactly the way it happened. And it says Aviyam. They talk about like it's their father, not his father. Again, because in order to show us the Toelet, but whatever the drift spell you want, but those are the conditions the Chafetz Chaim bring down, that in order to say Lashon Hara to Toelet, you have to have no other way. It has to be done as exact as you can, and it has to be a Toelet. It's interesting Chakir in the Achronim about what pshat that Lashon Hara is mutta for Toelet. Is it pshat that when it's a Toelet, it's not Lashon Hara? Like, is it by definition, if I'm doing something to Toelet, then it's no longer Lashon Hara? Or not? No. It is Lashon Hara, but the good of the Toelet overrides the bad, whatever's going to happen. Like in the fact that they bring, I think as the Pasuk brings down, it's right next to Osama Adam Riyapa, Oseh Rafa Adam Becha. So obviously if there's, you know, if you could save someone's life, or by, that's the extreme case, by telling someone, then obviously you do it. But it is Lashon Hara, but the mitzvah of Osama Adam Riyapa takes precedence. So that's a discussion of Chakiri and the Achronim. And there's a fundamental question in terms of what is the nature of the issue of Lashon Hara in general, in terms of it is what they call like an issue of magic, like is it because I'm going to cause harm to that person, like a bad machaveiro, or no, it's an issue of midah. The issue is that no, I shouldn't be going, if I start talking Lashon Hara all the time, it's going to impact, I'm going to become, exactly, so therefore, So you know, it's a different. There's a lot of questions we'll get into later or another time in terms of not gemeinus to that, but in terms of whether it'll be a tremendous difference. If it's, let's say, so saying Lashon Hara for Toelet is one thing, but in terms of who, you know, let's say, could you tell Lashon Hara? This is discussed in the Achronim. Could you tell Lashon Hara without mentioning the name of the person? And I don't mean by mentioning, not many people know who you're talking about. I mean, no one knows who you're talking about. But could you speak Lashon Hara in general without telling? So if it's an Isser Mazik, then you're not causing, no one knows who you're talking about, you're not causing any harm on the person. But if it's an Isser Midah, you're still going around gossiping, isn't a good Midah. That's the whole discussion we'll come back to. So either way, therefore someone would say, when the Torah writes things, it's to learn the lessons for all the futures, maybe that's one of the things for history.
What not to do. There's also another Toelet that Rav Yaakov Weinberg speaks about. He says whenever you have great people like the Shiftei Kav and by Yehuda and Tamar, that it gives us strength to say the authenticity of the Torah, because every other book was showed the righteousness of the virtue of all their leaders. And they were showing that, yes, they're human beings, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu says that even Moshe, by the Shimon HaProfim, that he sees Shimon, Shimon HaMari, so it shows that they're human beings, the Torah has authenticity, which one of the prime principles which we're fighting now in our generation, that the Torah is an authentic book, it's an authenticity, said Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, is because it shows that the leaders had flaws.
Right,
the Torah happened on New Testament when nobody had flaws.
And maybe the Quran.
Right, and a couple ones are saints. And in fact, there's a further discussion.
And what after all, also nobody has flaws.
So maybe it's not authentic.
But how exactly do we derive Lashon Hara from Lashon Hara from Bamecho? The two are not directly connected.
No, right, that's how I'm explaining it. Some, in terms of the Chakir, in terms of the nature, whether it was Tolelis or Tzimutzah, so they connect with Sofarapot of Osamos. Right, it's not a direct link in terms of they have, you know, the many places where the Chafetz Chaim brings and others, basically like the Chafetz Chaim.
The idea is of Rosh Hashanah is not implied in the Pasuk of Rosh Hashanah of Amechot.
Right, I'm wondering other sources also. I'm saying just in terms of this lima they connected to, but basically the Chafetz Chaim got a lot of his stuff from Rabbeinu Yonah, because only a couple. I mean, obviously the different Gemaras where he picked from. Besides the Gemaras, basically only Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam are the only two Rishonim who actually have extensive detail on what's in it. A lot of the things the Chafetz Chaim in the Sefer got from Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam. But when we get into more. We'll get into more the many different sources. This on the point you were making, that there's a further discussion, very prevalent today also. So we know, we see the Torah tells us they made mistakes, and Chazal told us our avos, different great people made mistakes. The question, Bizman Hazeh, is do we have a right to make up other reasons that Chazal didn't tell us? In other words, when you learned it, which seems to be a machlokas of Aaron Cutler and the symptom of full hurt, do we have a right that Chazal didn't say this? Do I have a right to say, well, I think this is why it was the Ace of Yaakov, they didn't communicate with each other, like Rav Hirsch writes, there's a lack of the communication, or Rav Aaron Kotler was famous, that's why in all the Lakewood yeshivas and all the yeshivas are there, because I think it was in the 60s, 70s, he was invited to the Torah Masorah convention, and he was asked, all the teachers there, teaching at Lamenti School High School, they asked him, how should we teach, you know, we need a derech in teaching the Chumash. So one of the things he was very strong on, actually he was responding after some article in some European paper, which wasn't the derech of Aaron to respond to a paper article, but it's a response to an article he read it, where I guess someone said something negative about the Avos or something. It was a Yiddish paper, you know, and then it's translated, right. So he came out and said, you know, he had strong words, but he came out, we don't have a right, we can't go ahead and judge the others. Whatever Chazal told us, the Torah said that, so within that discussion, we even have a further discussion on even if we could learn new things.
He said, I was at the Yeshiva.
Oh, you were there, okay.
He
said, yeah.
Rav Aaron Kotler said that they are perfect beings. The Avos are perfect beings. They didn't make flaws.
So what about the Torah says or Chazal?
Whatever it is, but they're still perfect beings. That's what he says. He based it. J.B. Shepard said because he said that the family from Ravan would not distort his language or something like that. That's what he said. That's why he thinks it's authentic. But that Ravan wasn't quoted from Ravan. It was said over in his name. But in contrast to this article where this person was quoting from different things, and the J.J. Sheff also wrote from Shamshon Ben Raphael Hirsch that there were errors made and they're only human beings. So it was a lecture in YU that they had recently from J.J. Sheff a few weeks ago.
Oh, he spoke about this, okay.
He spoke about this aspect of Ramon, yes. Speaking out against that Yiddish article from Europe.
Yeah, it's a thing that people always quote, there are probably more, but people always quote Rav Aaron on against the Shinto. I'm sure there are other people also, but those are the, you know, but he has in his Chumash, he writes these things, and, you know, different pshatim on the Chumash, so a lot of people don't like, you know, people have kindness because they follow Rav Aaron's Chumash. But either way, so getting back to Lashon Hara, so we see the discussion with Tohelis, so someone is saying all these things in the Torah, so the Chasam Sofer says it's ridiculous to say the Hesher is based on Tohelis. I mean, so I have to learn every day Lashon Hara, the Chira is Miriam, so I should learn that I shouldn't speak Lashon Hara. Chasam Sofer doesn't like that.
Every day.
Exactly, you chaser every day, let's learn Lashon Hara, so I learn not to speak Lashon Hara.
But even with six remembrances.
Right, exactly, so he talks, so therefore, to someone if they tell us, but not everyone thinks that's satisfactory. So, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, when he's talking about Mechiras Yosef, so he says that he has a big chiddush in Parshas Vayeshev, and we'll have to elaborate on it more to fully understand it. He writes that the issue of Lashon Hara is only b'chayim, is only when someone is alive. However, l'acha misa, which would help us in history, but l'acha misa, there is no Iftar of Lashon Hara. Again, there's a Chayram that says that you put into Chayram if you speak about the dead. He says that's mostly Shemra. That's not Lashon Hara. And he's not recommending, he's not saying it's a good idea to speak about the dead, but in terms of the technical Iftar of Lashon Hara, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky claims the Iftar only applies to Chayim. So obviously the Torah was talking the most, so, and therefore it's not a problem. That's Rav Yaakov. The Bochadon Wasserman has a totally different teretz. He talks about the Mishnah Yuma, but based on his answer, we could answer up Rav Yaakov's question as well. He wants to say, and we're going to elaborate on this point as well, that really, strictly speaking, if you could say Lashon Hara, or it wouldn't be Lashon Hara, but if you could have to give over what happened 100% accurately, you'd give over exactly the way things happen. In theory, you wouldn't violate Lashon Hara. The issue with Lashon Hara is the element of Sheker and Avodah. No one can go ahead and accurately give over. Obviously, to make up a total lie, that's Moti Shemra. But Lashon Hara is saying over a true fact, but not giving it in the proper context. It's very hard, come out impossible for someone to give over something. For instance, I don't know if he quotes it, but it reminds me of the Taz in Hilchos Aveiros. The Gemara talks about giving, well, the Gemara talks about a mitzvah of giving a eulogy, and in fact, it's so difficult to give a proper eulogy. There's a meaning among some Hasidim that they stop giving eulogies, which is a problem also because there's a mitzvah to give a eulogy. But they say you don't want to give a eulogy properly. So, I don't know, you go to some eulogies, I'm wondering, who is this guy they're talking about? It's nothing to do with the guy I know. So it becomes a mockery. Like, how could someone just exaggerate so much? Like, so the Shabbat right, you can exaggerate a little bit. So Taz asks, Mali Sheker, Mali Sheker Harvey. Like, what do you mean? A little bit pregnant? What do you mean? You could do like a lie a little bit, not a lot? So the Taz says, this is the pshat, that no one really knows any person, even if you see different acts they do, but we all do it ourselves. You hear about some act someone did, and then they tell you who it is. Oh, did you like that person? Automatically, oh yeah, but I'm sure this is what happened, he really didn't mean. Automatically, if we like the person, we come up with a reason why it wasn't so bad. And the converse is, if we don't like, oh yeah, I knew that person, he was with the Russia, etc., we just pile on. So we really can't be told. So the Taz says, no one really knows anyone exactly, so he's probably a little better than you think he is. So therefore it's okay to do a eulogy a little bit better, not to exaggerate and make a mockery, but within limits. So Rav Chana writes, the issue of Lashon Hara is really, it's the element of Sheker involved. You could actually give it over 100% accurate, which he says, come on, it's impossible to. That's what it's of Lashon Hara. But then we put it. So based on Rav Chana, however, but the Torah itself, and let's assume the Mishnah as well, they have the ability to give over the events. That's the question on historians, can they do that or not? But if you can give over the events accurately, like the Torah, so then it wouldn't be a problem of Lashon Hara. So we have Rav Yaakov who says it only applies to Chayim, not Lachamisa. And then we have Rav Chanan who says it's nothing to do with Chayim Lachamisa, it has to do with giving it over. We can't, but the Torah which can, so therefore the Torah could give over different events because it wouldn't be Lashon Hara. So
the Torah gives over, there's the Torah Shabbat Pass that also clarifies and explains it, which includes the Mephorshim.
Right.
There's one very, very restrictive thing that comes out from Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he says that anything in the Torah that you're going to, even if someone was to say something, unless it's written down in the Gemara or early Midrashim, you cannot interpret it in a pejorative way. So much so that I have written down with two witnesses that Rav Moshe Feinstein said that which the Ramban says, that we are suffering from the sorrows, from sorrow sending off Hagar, because we will suffer at the hands of Yishmael at the Arab, He says that is a greif, this is a mistake written down by an error from the scribe from the Talmudim of the Ramban, and it is not from the Ramban, and the Ramban could not say something preserved, even Rishonim cannot. So he has a restrictiveness in learning if you cannot interpret the Torah, so if you come out with a pejorative against not only Avos, but anyone in the Chumash Chumshei Torah, that you're interpreting that they did this in a certain way, that would be pejorative. So there's a restriction in that sense. So unless it was written down, if it was written down clearly in the Gemara has a right, because that was the prime golden chain of tradition. So if you have it from the Gemara, or early Midrashim, then it could be accepted. That puts a damper on these on people who are wide open for interpretation that says Moses was this, and he did that, etc. So there's a restrictiveness, is what I'm saying. So that restrictiveness is stopping any pejorative or Lashon Hara against someone, because you can really interpret the Torah in many ways, and it seems very logical. I've seen someone wrote it down, says this is unacceptable because Rav Moshe said you cannot interpret it in a pejorative.
No, right, just like the many give upon him, your many, many interpretations, right.
If you apply that restrictiveness to also to praising a person, where exactly do you draw your line?
Praise your Lashon. He's saying pejorative. If you can learn how to special push to build up the Avos, to build up Moshe or Miriam or Torah in a special way, that's there's
no. But we just quoted where the restriction.
Restriction is the pejorative.
No. But the previous quotation from the Gabi Hespers.
The Taz.
That's the Hespers, something else.
Is that the Taz?
That's the Taz.
That's the Taz. Now, how do we reconcile that with the Tilalon, the Talanol, the Chasudot? Is there a limit on that?
Yes, so then that's
the...
Yeah,
that's the MS in the eyes of the Chosin.
That's what they get into. They discuss that issue there also, in terms of what, you know, how much could, you know, there's a normal limit of exaggeration, you know, within, there's a norm, and then there's, you know, actually where you put that limit, you know, the devil's in the detail, but in terms of, but they discuss it by there as well, in terms of this limit. So we have both Rav Yaakov and we have Rav Elchanan. So
that sounds very strange.
What
you said,
yeah.
Because you
want to
really something that Ramban really, really lays on the table. You want to go.
Chay Chata Beshogeg, the Ramban writes, by Avram.
So
when he went down, left the famine, he said,
he
did a terrible sin, Beshogeg. That's the Ramban's his. If Avram didn't know it was Beshogeg, he had his sort of Ramban know. But
and also that person from Horizon makes a statement about that. He says,
The issue of truth coming here, I mean, even if it is negative, if it's the truth,
but Torah didn't take every narrative to just leave it out there. And the rabbis have to go into all the details of, obviously there's a lot of stuff, the Torah is not a history book, there's a lot of stuff the Torah leaves out. So, according to Rabbi Yaakov, is assumption, the question is, something you don't have to go into, and or the other ways of going into,
because it's not a history book, it's come to teach you something, and if it's a truth,
Torah. And that's so many give that answer. Chazon Sofer didn't like it, but others did. So getting back, we have a combination. We have Rav Yaakov and Rav Elchanan.
Rav Elchanan's work. Where did you get that from? That the Lashon Hara is is connected to the fact that he's a shaka.
Yeah, well, he writes, he's in Kobe's Mamara, but actually, I don't know if he brings it down here, but to me it seems like, because if I get it from the story of Zahira's Miriam, that what happened, what's the classic case of Lashon Hara? The Torah says Miriam spoke against her brother Moshe. And then, so what did she say? And why is separated? We're all prophets. Vokhein, Moshe is different. So the question is, I thought Lashon Hara was on the truth. Well, Miriam said was wrong. Why isn't it Moshe Shemra? Miriam said that Moshe was not like the other prophets. I think we're putting it over there, explains that, no, obviously she thought. In other words, she thought she was saying a true statement, but when you say a true statement, not in the proper context, not actually giving over, that's what Lashon Hara is. So it's obviously, you can't just make up a lie, then you don't even get into Lashon Hara. That's this Moshe Shemra checker. But you are giving over in your mind what is a true statement, but you're totally way off. She totally misunderstood the situation.
I find it hard to understand. I mean, if that's the explanation, these other classic examples are so vague in the Torah. The whole point is that the Torah is giving us a more accurate depiction than we would have to do ourselves. I mean, Yehuda and Tamar, is that an accurate depiction? It's so vague. And
you think it's that? You think it's so vague because the Torah, because we don't really get the picture from?
Yeah, you can interpret that any way you want. You could come out with a very negative impression of what went on. So the Torah didn't give us such an accurate depiction to avoid a misconception of what happened.
But you want to say from
that's the whole. I mean, so you want to be saying that the Torah gives us an accurate depiction, but we ourselves, we can't make an accurate depiction. But these are accurate depictions. Ones that we ourselves find very hard to discern what went on.
Well, I guess because when you learn any parish in the Chumash, there's going to be many different ways of learning it and that.
But particularly all these Averas or whatever they are.
All the Gemara says they don't say dog it's sin or that yeah. Now it's right. That's a good kind of them.
They're particularly big.
Moshe Shemra is something that you see, and it's an obvious, and you say something that is an obvious sheker about that. But what I'm speaking about is, he's quoting, beneath the surface, is the prophet says, man sees the outside, and Hashem knows the heart of a person. So when someone says something about someone, they did this, this, and this, and their words are not incongruent with who the person is as their heart is, because you don't know what their heart is when they do that action. So you only see something, or their words that they said. You see about either their action or their words, right?
Right.
What is inside them, the lave of a person, you don't know. So when you verbalize something about someone, you are off target in sense of a little bit of sheker, a little bit, but it's not Moshe Shemra, it's Lashon Hara.
Exactly.
Moshe Shemra would be if you said, he said...
You made up something, you're totally out of the blue.
You said ABC, and you said ABD. Then that would be Moshe Shemra.
Right.
But that's if you said ABC, but you don't know what was in his
heart. Exactly,
heart.
Maybe it was so gay, it was made, and maybe it's a two, but that's a little...
I want to try to clarify.
Yeah, that's a little...
But
that's
the end, this point.
All them lowers the nine, but Hashem lowers the level.
Is there any indication...
Granted, it's a big chiddush, I agree. I'm saying both of Yaakov's a big chiddush. They're both big chiddush. In terms of that it's only B'chayim, not Rav, and then... But this is shown anyway, with combining with Yaakov and Rav Chanan, they were trying to answer a couple of yeshodas. So there's a...
I think the
Chavetz Chaim
says
this after. Yeah, no, right. Obviously, it's not like the Chavetz. The Chavetz is one place in the Chavetz Chaim where he says it explicitly, but it's clear from the Chavetz Chaim Sefer that you Lashon Hara applies even La'achamisa. Mm-hmm. Rav Yaakov disagrees, but I'm saying right. So they point out there's a famous mice with the Chavetz Chaim. Well, whether it happened or not, that leaves to you. Some people doubt the story of it happened, but it's good for the Mussar Shemuzim anyway. So everyone's probably familiar with the story, if now you'll hear it now. The famous mice that happened or didn't happen, or the mice that they say, as the line says, every story happened, is whether it didn't happen yet or it's going to happen, so whichever one you want to put it in. But the Chavetz Chaim, the mice of the sky was before you had the cameras, before kosher too, before pictures, and therefore no one really knew who anyone was. They didn't recognize them by face. So what happened was someone was riding on the train to go to Radin to visit the Chafetz Chaim. And unbeknownst to him, he was sitting next to the Chafetz Chaim right next to him. So I guess they started speaking, how are you doing? What are you doing coming to Radin? He says, you know, I heard there's this great rabbi there, this Gadol Hador Chassid. I want to see the Chafetz Chaim. So the Chafetz Chaim said, well, he's not so great. What are you talking about? He's not the Gadol Hador. He's not so good. The people are just... So the guy said, how dare you talk about the Chafetz Chaim? And he slaps the Chafetz Chaim in the face, as the story goes. And, okay, that's the end of it. So then when he gets off the train, so everyone starts running to the Chafetz Chaim, and he realized that was the Chafetz Chaim. And so they say, oh, the Chafetz Chaim said, now I realize you can't even say Lashon Hara about yourself. That's the story.
What do you mean? Isn't there Gemara in the Mida that says that everyone calls you a tzaddik, you're supposed to say, no, I'm a Russia. You know, it's the opening to the Tanya. You know, someone calls you, if all of a sudden someone calls you a tzaddik, no, I'm a Russia. Don't let those accolades come into your direction. Push them away. You could be carried over the cliff with haughtiness if you allow something like that to take place.
Right.
So here, called the time, even he didn't say he was a Russia. Oh, not so great. I can believe a story like that. I can believe that he was slapped.
No, in terms of the story, the truth.
And I didn't say it's not Lashon Hara, the part of the public.
No.
I'm sure to say that.
Right.
If you're asking a question, then how could he say this?
No, the truth is itself. No, so I'll tell you, because we assume, because the general clause is, on mitzvahs ben adam u'chaveiro, it's ben adam u'chaveiro. The answer is to do it to someone else, not to me. So I have an answer to Mavayish you. There's no answer to Mavayish to myself. It might not be a good idea, and it might run into other problems, but the claw is, it's a whole discussion about whether you could, you know, cause harm to yourself. There's a whole discussion with Moshe, and with Zevin, there's a whole stick on it, and Mishpat Shailach in the Orla Halacha. But the bottom line is, the general rule is, the Adam Chaveiro only applies to Chaveiro, not to you. So what are you talking about? You can't say less than or about yourself. Maybe you shouldn't, so maybe the story happened, but
keep it up.
But the question is, you can't...
You can't say less than about yourself. It's the denigration of your parents that brought you here. So you said you have a right to do that.
It won't be the issue of less than her. It'll be out for Kitarin and Kiyu. In other words, I might recommend you, I might say, you've been doing it, but out the strict halacha of less than her, it shouldn't apply. So what's shot in the story, assuming it happened? And secondly, there's another halacha that, let's say someone is in Makbid. I say, I don't care, bring it on. You could mavazza me, you could be Lashon Hara. I think the camera's up. So, he says, let's say someone's Eino Makbid. Could you speak Lashon Hara? It's clear, he's not just saying he's not. He's not Makbid. You want to say Lashon Hara about someone's Eino Makbid?
He's giving you rishus to listen.
Exactly. Yeah. The fact is, interesting with Shlomo Kluger, I think in his Imre Sefer, he asked the kasha by Miriam and Moshe. He says, how did Miriam say Lashon Hara about Moshe? Because he assumed that Moshe was in Makbid. Moshe was in Makbid, and therefore that's why, and the bottom line was, that he was Makbid. So the Kasha of Shlomo Kluger is, who knows Moshe better, Miriam or Shlomo Kluger? I mean, Shlomo Kluger thought she was a Makbid, Miriam thought Moshe was a Makbid. Anyway, but the Chafetz Chaim, so that's what he writes, Moshe was a Makbid, but she didn't know that, and therefore it gets into the whole question of Makshava, even though he's in Kortam, but she didn't know that. So, but the Chafetz Chaim writes anyway, that even if you're Eino Makbid, it's us to do it. So the question is, why not? Again, if it's a bad Adam or Chaveiro, so the answer is only, if I say I don't mind the harm, then it's Mutter. So if someone's Eino Makbid, why should it be an issue of Lashon Hara? So maybe if we take the Yisrael of Yaakov and Rav Elchanan, and what we just discussed by Kivud Aveim, that perhaps there's two aspects. When we say there's an issue of Lashon Hara, it's twofold. There's an issue of Adam Lachadero of Lashon Hara, and there's an issue of Adam Lamakom of Lashon Hara. The issue of Adam Lachadero is you're a magic, you're causing harm. In other words, you're ruining the person's good name, you're talking bad, even if it's true, but you're causing harm to this person. So there's an issue of lashon hara. And then there's the Be'ad of Ramakal that we know Chasam Rosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The stamp, the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truth. So if we work along the lines of Rav Hanan, that every time you speak lashon hara, there's an element of sheker involved, so that's a violation of the Be'ad of Ramakal aspect. There's the Be'ad of Havero aspect of causing damage, and there's the Be'ad of Ramakal aspect of speaking the truth. So they point out, so that's what they want to answer us. So let's say the Chafetz Chaim story, true or not true, let's assume it's true. So what's the pshat? So Rav Yaakov says, there's only lashon hara b'chayim, not l'yachamim. There's only lashon hara b'chayim. So what's Rav Yaakov talking about? B'chayim, then we can talk about b'yadam v'chaveiro. But l'yachamim, there's no concept of b'yadam v'chaveiro anymore. So when Yaakov said, there's no issue of speaking lashon hara, Rachamisa, he was talking about the Be'ad of Chavero aspect, but ain't not about the Sheker aspect of Rav Hanan. So there would be. In fact, that's how they want to explain how could the Torah give it over then? Because on one hand it's Rachamisa, so that takes care of the Be'ad of Mamakom aspect. But in terms of how could they cause, what about causing the harm? So as the Rav Hanan is saying, the Torah is giving it over directly. When the Torah gives it over, there's no exaggeration, so if there is no sheker, so therefore there's no problem of the Be'ad of Ramakom.
It could be a problem. The story of Miriam was written in the early Miriam would have lived for another 38 years after the story, didn't she? Right? The story happened before he sent out before the Bible. So when would the story of Miriam would have been throughout the Midbar? In other words, there it has been written, and most likely taught while Miriam was still alive. So Miriam would be a challenge to the doctrine of going after Misa.
But depending when the Torah was actually written down.
And that's what it was written down, but that's what I'm saying. It was enough time to argue that we're not talking of something that was like, for sure Miriam still lived for a few years.
No, right, that's not. But I guess until did Moshe write things down as
even
Parshas. No, right. Clearly, Rabbi Yaakov is assuming in the Kasha. Well, he's not talking about Miriam. He's talking about Mechiras Yosef.
But in that argument, it says that the Misa, the Achamisa, is only to us. But the story of Miriam was clearly at
Romeo's Solon. Right, yeah, but it's not a that's what Zachariah Bachanan, that the Torah is giving over the Emmet, so it's not a problem.
The argument, applying that argument.
I'm saying combining both Rav Yaakov and Rav Bachanan, we have our answer. If you assume that both those.
That's a problem for Miriam. That's still not an answer for Miriam.
You're assuming Miriam is alive?
Yeah, because I would assume,
but according to Rav Hanan, it's not a problem. But the Torah is giving it over the right way, so there's no.
No, it's kind of sense, but according to Rav Yaakov, according to the idea of saying it's Achamisa, it's a problem because Miriam.
No, I'm agreeing, right. As I'm saying, you combine both Rav Hanan and Rav Yaakov, then you can. Right, because that's what they did. The story was the Chafetz Chaim said, there's no issue of lashon hara. That's not Be'ad of Chaveiro. But the end of a makom, but the sheker aspect, that's still there, and same thing with Eino Machbid. So if there's no Be'ad of a Chavero damage, but after the end of a makom, the sheker aspect is still a problem. And maybe we can understand also the Chafetz Chaim writes by an interesting halacha by a katan. He writes that you can speak less and harder about a katan unless you're causing damage to the katan, unless you're a mat. So the halacha is normally, so you can't be the normal halacha is that I'm a chaver, I'll find your cousin. I can't mavayis a cousin, I can't hit a cousin. So what's pshat with the Chafetz Chaim? What's he saying by cousin? That why should cousin be different? That it's only us there if you cause hezek. So maybe along these lines, that out the cousin we know, he's not achrai. So we know we don't have that same image of him that we hold him responsible. So maybe we're not even if. So even if you have the little checker, it's not a problem because God's not holding him responsible. There's no Be'ad of Ramakom. But in terms of the cause of hezek, but the al-kabelem al-chavero, that's still, maybe that's what the Chafetz Chaim is getting at, that he says Dasri makes the distinction by a custom. But
his proximity. Let's say a child did something terrible, so it has to be told over. The mother told the father, and the father made discipline in that society. That was the Koelis for Chinuch. So therefore, it's necessary to necessarily fool up to say something pejorative, something negative about a child under age who did something in order to set him Chinuch Nalasidam, so you can set him straight, so you can have him follow the right there when he becomes a
boy. Why would that be different when he's not under age?
Why when he's under age?
No, what if he's not under age, but he's already 13, 14, when most of the misbehavior takes place?
Because then
it looks like a true education.
Well, they didn't live that long, and there was a lot of chinuch that took place before 12 at that time. But if you have all the conditions, the seven conditions, the toilets and this, not exaggerating, then you can do it even for someone over age, not even a cotton, even for an adult. Once he's 13, he's the same as if he's 23. It's not a matter of the chinuch per se. Once he's 13 is the same as 13.
That's the chinuch that's applied to him. But it's not
the
simple
chinuch
then
to 13. But he's an adult, that's what I'm trying to put in.
Yeah, they can be what? Chinuch
can apply to a lot of
Someone
who's a slow grower can have chinuch at 28. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But chinuch still applies, so the heter of chinuch, as
well,
we can apply whether
it's
a cotton or not a cotton.
Right, so getting back, so we see a tremendous yisod from Rav Chanan, that Rav Chanan yisod, that in every... So basically, as Rav Hudna goes into it as well, explaining the same as Rav Chanan, they're really, what's the rationale most people have when they say Lashon Hara? Maybe they'll come up with a different one. But it's the truth. That's why if a person realizes it's not the truth, the truth is really a lie. By you giving over, you can never give it over the situation properly. So if you would realize before that you can't give over the MS, then maybe you keep your mouth shut and not say the Lashon Hara. So in fact, that's the whole Yisod of Rav Hudna writes in many places, V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. That was the famous other dispute, the Chafetz Chaim on Yisod Salanter. Let's say you mevayis someone, you insult someone, but they don't know about it. And now you want to ask mechila. So the Chafetz Chaim claims, well, what can you do? It's a Rebbeinu Yonah. You have to go to the guy, and if he has, you have to tell him what you said about him. You were a jerk, I don't like, you know, whatever you said. I guess these are points to the Chafetz Chaim. You have to have too many friends, or you have to be careful. You'll be careful not to say anything. But the Chafetz Chaim writes, because it's so us, that's crazy. He says, how can that be? But because I did an Aveira of whatever it was, Lashon Hara or something else, and now I'm going to go ahead and cause harm by telling him my...
Alienate him from you.
Exactly. So therefore, there's also obviously it can't be. So Rav Hudna writes, and then he has this piece throughout in his Pachad Yitzcha. He writes, once the Yisrael, the Ahavta Reyecha Kamocha. Besides, obviously, the Havir of Adam Mitzvah to love you, but there's an implicit Chiyav as well is, you have to be an Ahav. That you have to make yourself, that you're not only do I have to love someone else, but I have to be beloved among the people. And that's what he goes into. The whole reason to ask him mechila, besides getting forgiven, is to remove the head of tarumas, that someone shouldn't have a tain on you. That's why the Rambam writes, you only have to ask three times and no more. Torah writes is the reshut. The Rambam writes, what task is three? But the point is, you have to do something to make yourself So in this case, the Rambam would say, just do tshuva, harasa, whatever you did, you don't have to actually go over it because there's no point, you're causing the person more harm. But the point being is, you have to make yourself beloved among others. That's what the person has to realize, that people think when they speak Lashon Hara, they think they're really gaining by it. They're everyone's going to love them now, they gave them the dirt and all that. Like, you have people that sit around at a table, you have sit, you know, seven, eight, every time one person walks away, you start talking about... So one person, I'm not getting off my seat, I'm just saying I'll be the last one to leave. But the point thing is, if you speak Lashon Hara, you don't come off as a good person, you come off as a bitter person, angry, someone who's aggressive and not an aho. So the mitzvah hafta recha kamocha is that you have to realize that you have to be an aho. By speaking Lashon Hara, you're doing the opposite. And that's what you have to realize, as Rav Chanan just said, that that every truth is really a lie, and therefore one don't think it's the truth if that's the reason why you're saying it.
One can accomplish for the Yashosa Lantan and the Chabad Chaim the following way. It's called Batul Bashishin. If one has called someone a bad name, you know, a terrible thing, and the person will never know about it unless you come to ask them for machila. If you befriend that person, and again, you do so many nice things to 60 things, I'm not saying the number, picking that number, then all of a sudden, after being friends with the person for several months, and you're his best buddy, and you treated him to this, and you went out, and that, and then all of a sudden, by the way, I'm so sorry, what's the doubt? 6 months ago that I did this and this, and I said something about you. The person will not be alienated because the power of love is so strong and the connections are there that he will not. So I'm just trying to give you a to contradict both of them.
Exactly, you have to have access. Yeah,
if you have a great love and accomplishment with someone and the bonding is there, saying, having said something about them a few months ago after you've accomplished so much good and positive with them, the person will not be alienated. He'll say, oh, I forgive you, you're my friend. Right. And he'll hug you.
Actually, it was funny because someone like one too, when they're asking for machila, you know, one time I actually said something about you. He didn't tell me what. It really wasn't that bad. I'm wondering, what did anyone go into? To ask him what he said. Anyone get into the machlokes? But that we see by Lashon Hara. So the fact we have like Kibud Avraham, we have the concept of Beda Makom and Beda Machavero. So perhaps if we could bind the Rav Yaakov and Rav Moshe, there's an Isser Alsoer Machavero. That's the Isser magic. That's the Isser of causing a person harm. But in addition, whether we're achamis or not, there's an aspect of a makom, and that's the shekish abo, and that's what we have to be careful.
Is that your own? Like you said, by
Chris
Shafter
said
that
statement
by
Kibbutz Avraham,
but
this kill is
in Lashon
Hara. Yeah, I didn't know. I saw it in a different form. They didn't discuss it explicitly, but.
The application of that kill is yours. I mean,
Or in one of the sorrow, I'm saying is they discussed. They didn't go to the whole detail, but they, you know, they. That's the way I understood it. Whether they actually said it or not. No, I was just thinking because I was doing the Kila Aim, so then I thought about the Lashon Hara in terms of also has that dual aspect.
Right.
So I guess next week, no share next week, and then shut it off. Because they have to know not to watch next week. And then the week after, we'll the following